If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Romans 12, verse 1. Everybody there? The Word says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your responsibility, your responsible service. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for the revival that we had this last week, Lord God. And Father, thank you for, Lord, the blessings, Lord God, that you've given us, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for those that were saved this week, Lord God. Thank you for every decision that was made, Lord God. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that you continue, Lord God, to fill this church, Lord God, with people that are eager, Lord God, to hear your word, Lord God. And Father, I pray right now that I could just stand back and get out of the way, Lord God. And Father, let you speak through me to your people, Lord God. And Father, I pray that your precious spirit, Lord God, will fall on these men and women, Lord God, and teenagers, Lord God. And Father, that they would move and decide, Lord God, that we need to serve you, Lord God, and forget about this world and its ways, Lord. And I pray if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord God, that they find their way to you. Lord, we just give it to you right now. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Romans chapter 12. Jesus is telling us that things that, you know, there's a lot of things in our walk as Christians that the world has got away from, that the church has got away from in the day and time that we live in. There are very few people that will stand up for the Lord outside of the church house, and there's lots and lots of places that are getting to be more and more that they're wanting to throw God out. They want to throw everything out that and conform to the ways of the world. And in the writings here, God is telling us that we need to not to conform to this world. And so a lot of things that we do in churches and people of the churches, we're not doing the things that God wants us to do, and we wonder why God don't bless. We had a wonderful revival. I was encouraged by it because every time Brother Cherry preaches, it kind of does good for a preacher to hear another preacher and make sure that he's kind of in line with God. And the first two sermons that he preached, I had preached in the last week or two. But we need to, the Word says, that I urge you. And Paul, the writer, is urging us to, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. Now, what does that mean? The first thing that the Word says here is I urge you. And he is urging us, God is urging us to do the things that he wants us to do. But as God always does, he says, brethren, by the mercy of God, Paul the writer, by the mercy of God, we cannot do one thing. You cannot, maybe in a revival you come down one night and you rededicated your life and you told God you was going to, God, I'm going to sing, or God, I'm going to teach Sunday school, or God, I'm just going to straighten my life up. I want you to realize this morning, and God does too, that you cannot do that on your own. You can't do nothing on your own. The writer here, God inspired, Paul says, I urge you. I urge you. And King James says, I beseech you. I urge you, brethren, and the brothers and sisters of God, to the mercy. You do it with the mercy of God. By the mercy of God, that you present yourselves holy. And we can only do it by God's will. We can, you know, I promise you, I would not be here this morning, stand behind this pulpit, if it had been my choice. And I would hate to stand behind this pulpit and try to tell y'all anything without God encouraging me, without praying and seeking God and reading God's Word. So if God led you in this revival, maybe to help in the kitchen, maybe to sing, as I said, maybe to teach Sunday school, maybe just to come to Sunday school, maybe to just get involved more in the church, you cannot do that without God. You got to present yourself as a sacrifice to God. What did Jesus do? Jesus went to that cross, as we'll be talking about in the next 4 or 5 weeks. Easter's coming. Jesus went to that cross as a living sacrifice for God. You and I are living. We are breathing. We have blood flowing in our veins. And what you and I are supposed to do, a lot of times you get on this and say, oh, God wants you to do this or don't do this or don't do that. What God is trying to tell us to do is that you are His. You are a living sacrifice of His. And what you need to do is make yourself through the Lord Jesus Christ to be that sacrifice that you can go tell other people about Jesus, that you can pray for people, that you go see people in the hospital, that you do the things that Christians are supposed to do. So many times we don't do it. So many times we come to church, and that's all the religion, and religion will send you to hell. I told a girl I was visiting Brother Wayne the other day, and this young lady come in, and Wayne introduced me as his pastor, and she said, where do you pastor? And I told her, I pastor a non-denominational church. It's called Oakhurst Full Gospel Church, and we believe in the full gospel. And she said, I go to church, but I don't believe in religion. And I told her, I said, religion will send you to hell. I'm telling you, you cannot, and in essence, that's what God is telling us here, you cannot do anything without God. There's so many churches, so many organizations, I call them religious organizations today, that decided that they could do the things that they want to do and leave God out of it. Well, some of them are prosperous because they got a lot of money and all these things, but they will not ever experience the things that we experienced at this church and we experienced the last weekend at revival, because the Bible says, I beseech you, I urge you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, it is by His mercy, it is by His grace, it is by His love that we are able to do anything. We can't do it. You cannot do it without God. And God tells us right here in His Word, I urge you. He urges us. Do it. Do what? But you can't do it without God. He goes on to say, to make yourself a living sacrifice, I've already said, holy, acceptable. If you go out into the world, we talked about this, I don't know, I've talked about it this past week. I know I don't remember who I was with, but talking about a living sacrifice. Let me tell you something. You cannot come to this church on Sunday, Wednesday, to the Bible study, come to revival, and carry this Bible under your arm, and then go out there in the world, go to the house today, throw the Bible on the coffee table or put it in your bedroom, wherever you keep it, and live like hell the rest of the week. You can't do it. Because people are looking at you. It says, make yourself a living sacrifice. Jesus was a sacrifice to God. And for God, He said He was here to do the will of His Father. You and I are supposed to be here to do the will of our Father. And so, people are looking. That's what I'm getting at. People are looking. They're looking at every move that you make. I had a youth director in Navasota, Texas, that saw some of my kids that were going to church buying beer one night. And that youth director is now on the staff with Ed Young. Matter of fact, he pastors the Baptist church out on 290, coming up a huge church, a good guy, got his doctorate degree and all that stuff. But do you know that there's two people that were in his youth group, because what he did, instead of going to them kids and talking to them, what he did was go to class the next Sunday and tell all the people, all the children and there were 25 or 30 of you. These two right here bought beer. They ain't no good. And them two kids that he told that is not going to church this day. They still tell me they believe, but they're not going to church this day because he done what he wanted to do, not what God wanted him to do. God said, make yourself a living sacrifice to him. Do what it is that he says do. Walk, not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. If you say you're a Christian, you cannot. Let me go on over to the rest of the passage here. It says, let me read one again. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, or I urge you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. What is God saying? He is saying that I'm not asking you to do something that you can't do. I'm not asking you to be somebody or act some way that you can't do. He said, I am asking you reasonably. Like my daddy used to say, you know, you got to use a little common sense here. God is saying reasonable. He said, God, which is your reasonable servant. It's reasonable. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to act. He's not asking us something that we can't do. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, who saved us, who loves us. Verse 2 says, and this is the big kicker. And do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not conform to this world. Let me tell you something. The first thing that comes to our mind as Christians when we read that, we're not supposed to be drinking. We're not supposed to be smoking. We're not supposed to be cussing. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're not supposed to be doing. Well, that's part of it, maybe. But God says, do not conform to this world. This world has many things. There's many things that you and I can do as a Christian that don't conform to God's word. And you know, I hate to name some of them. I got a son right now. I hope he watches. They watch it every Sunday. I hope he's watching. They will play baseball every Sunday from now till the cows come home. They don't go to church. You said nothing wrong with baseball. Ain't nothing wrong with baseball. But the problem is they are putting, and not a lot of people put it before God. And God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Football, it's not a football, golf, fishing, none of that stuff is bad. But if we conform to it, if we give our whole heart to it, and that's all we do, it becomes a sin. It's just, you know, it's like we Christians say, oh, he's so bad, he's doing this or he's doing that. You're doing the same thing. God says you can't, you know, don't talk about yourself when you got a pole sticking out of your head yourself. That's the way the Bible explains it. When, you know, in other words, it is between you and I and God. And God says, do not conform to the things of this world. In other words, don't let the things of this world get in before God. And so many times we do, people. We do. And I thank God that everybody came to that revival. I was so blessed because God answered prayer. I prayed. I done everything I could do. And I know y'all did too. And God proved to me through that revival this year what he could do if we really and truly conformed to what he wanted us to do and done what he wanted. And when we did, he filled his church up. I mean, he blessed us in every aspect. We fed all them people every night. We Brother Paul preached every night and everybody was here. There were people here that don't come every Sunday that's not here this morning that come to every meeting of that revival. That is conforming to what God wants us to do. We cannot conform to this world. You just can't do it. You know, Joanne and I would try for a long time to pick out a movie that was good. You can't find a movie that's good. They don't make them. And we even went back to things of the 50s and 60s on some of them shows on the cable that we get. And if you look at it, some of that ain't even no good. God said, don't conform to it. Don't do it. You know, we're in a habit of, I know when I was, before I got saved, it didn't make any difference. I could hear, you know, they use God's name 50 times in the first 30 minutes of every movie that there is. I didn't pay attention to it. And there's a time after I got saved, before I got to mature, and I'm still on my course of maturing, every one of them said that, oh, well, they just say two or three words, that's okay. It ain't. It ain't okay. It is not okay. We as Christians don't have to listen to that. We God says, cut it off and conform to me. Do what I want you to do. Do, you know, I had a youth, or my brother's youth director, Bob. He take the movies and bleep all the cussing out and show it to the kids. But he come to a point, hey, that's all there. They don't only get you by what you look at, what you're hearing, but also what you're looking at. The devil is out to steal our children. The devil is out to break up your marriage. The devil is out to destroy your life if you will let him. God said if we conform to this world, if we conform to what this world is telling us to do, we are going to fail. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? What do you have to do to renew your mind? The first thing you got to do, you have got to wholeheartedly give your heart to God. You cannot say, I've already said it once. God, I'm going to do everything you want me to do. I'm going to be your Savior. I'm going to let you be my Savior. I'm going to come to church every Sunday. That's not going to get it. You have to wholeheartedly, he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Just saying it is not going to do it. You have to line your heart and your mind up with God's word, and you have to discipline yourself. That is the thing. You have to discipline yourself to do it. You can't do it on your own. The only way that you can discipline yourself, you know, I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you. In the last 2 years, I've lost 151 pounds. That's just an example of what you can do with God's word. God, the only, you know what? When I wanted, I told y'all a couple weeks ago about the Snicker bar. When I wanted a Snicker bar, I said, Jesus, help me. Jesus, and I wouldn't eat it. And the same thing is true with your walk, with renewing your mind. You got to give it to God. And every time that bad thought, every time lust, every time a cuss word, every time something that you want to do that you know is wrong comes up, and the Holy Spirit of God reminds you, you got to say, God, help me. That is what he is saying in the word right here when he says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, by what God says, what he tells us to do in his way, trusting him completely. You can't do it on your own. I tried it. I have lost, I bet you I've lost 1,000 pounds in my life. I have. And I quit and gained it all back. And every time I gained, I'd gain back some more. And when I took this last time, when I went to the doctor and I got on them scales, I weighed 448 pounds. And I said, God, I have tried it. And you do this with your life, with everything. This is just an example. I said, God, I can't do it. I can't live like this no more. I'm going to die. And the Holy Spirit of God wrote, yes, but I need you here. And you know how God confirmed that to me? By a brother, Rick Morgan, called me one day and he said, I had a dream last night. And he said, God wants to use you in a mighty way. And he said, I hadn't even told him anything about no dad. And he said, I'm going to be praying you lose his weight just like I did. And he went on to tell me how big he was at one time. And I said, you pray for me, and I'm going to do it this time. And because, not because Rick, God used Rick to reassure me that that was him talking to me, and that if I was willing, that he would meet me. God may have talked to you in this revival. God may be talking to you right now, and you may be saying, that's just the feeling I'm getting. That feeling you're getting is from God. And God said that you could do it by His mercy and by His grace, by trust. But you renew your mind by flushing it, by getting rid of all the junk in it. And let me tell you something. You're not looking at somebody perfect. I'm not perfect. Lord, no. I sinned 25 times before I shut my eyes on that. Probably 25 times. 25. Because we fail every day. God says that if you say that you're without sin, that you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Every one of us has sin. But you can trust God to renew you. And I'm going to tell you something. We talked about it Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. In God, you can be perfect. In God. You can't do nothing on your own. I couldn't have lost this weight. I got 50 more pounds that I want to lose. That God laid. I can't do it without God and His grace and His mercy and His love. You cannot quit alcohol. You can't quit anything that got drugs. You can't stop a divorce that maybe you're fixing to go through. You can't a sickness that you can't do any of that on your own. But I'm gonna tell you something. If you will give it to God, God can save your marriage. God can restore your health. God can cleanse your mind. God can heal you. He can heal you. A lot of you that may not have been around a full gospel church or wonder sometimes about it, we'll get down here and anoint somebody with oil and pray for them. God told me this morning when I was sitting right there reading through this Bible trying to figure out what He wanted me to say today, He said, you call a man of the church up here every Sunday from now on, and you let them gang around you and you pray. You let them pray for you and you get up there. And that's what I'm going to do. It is, and we pray for people that are sick. I had a guy tell me one time not too long ago, he said, that's a little bit Pentecostal. I said, that's what it is. That's what God says do. That's what the Bible says. Go read the book of James. The book of James says that if there is one among you who is sick, if you are with sin this morning, you're sick. And God said that the elders of the church come around him and anoint him with oil, and he'll be cleansed, he'll be healed. And this oil right here, that ain't nothing but some olive oil. That's all it is. And this is, they call wine aged. This is aged. I poured this. There's two bottles. My daddy had a bottle that I had at the house that was that big. What? And I filled both of them bottles up from it. This is aged olive oil. I guarantee you it's rank. Ain't no telling when he bought it. Maybe in the 60s, maybe in the 50s. But that oil ain't got no power. There's no power in this oil. There's no power in you. There's no power in nothing but the Word of God. But you can take that with what God says, and He will anoint you, and He will, not because there's any power in the oil. There's no power in it at all. Just doing what God said to do. What did God tell the disciples? He had 10,000 people in front of him. It said 5,000 men or 10,000 men. They had been there all day, and they were hungry. Jesus told the disciples, they're hungry. What did He tell them to do? He said, gather up the crumbs, or gather up what you can get here. And they went and found the three fish and the barley cake. God fed every one of them, not because it's because of the miracle of God, but the reason that that was done was because them men, them disciples, didn't say, are you crazy? We can't get enough. Well, they did. We can't get up enough things around here to feed all these people. They didn't say that. Not as I say, but as you say, and they went and done it, and God fed every one of them. Remember Peter and James and John when they was in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and they pulled a boat up and they caught all the fish. Before they caught the fish, fell on their knees and said, God, We have fished all night long and hadn't caught anything. Nothing. We hadn't caught anything. But not as I will, but as you say. It's things that you can't believe. You can't focus in your mind. But you see, we believe in things that you can't see. The world believes in things you can see. They said, not my will, but your will. And they went, they cast the nets, had to get all the boats. And they caught tons of fish because they said, okay, God. The same thing is true in your life today. You say, I'm so tied up and so messed up in this world and all the things in this world, I can't do that. I go back to the baseball plan. Y'all have heard me say it. My oldest son played baseball. He made All-Stars and all that stuff. But I did not let them play on Sunday. He went right on through it. Didn't hurt him. He's alive today. It didn't kill him. That's what you have to do. And you say, Brother Glenn, that's simple. And look, you work this out with God. I'm just telling you what God's Word says, okay? God says, do not conform to the ways of this world. God said he created all this world. He gave us 7 days. He said on the Sabbath, stop and worship me. The rest of it's yours. So if we can't give him, I go back to the last Toby's, he was senior year, anyway, he made the All-Star and they played at Brenham at Blinn College, and they had him starting pitching that morning. So he's not playing, and he didn't. And we took him over there Sunday afternoon. And he could go the rest of the day with him, But you just have to, and it may be whatever the problem is. If it's weight, if it's, I can't. God says salvation worked out between the man and the God. Okay, so. Some things I can get away with, you can't. Some things you can get away with, I can't. But if God is telling you this morning, hey, you know this thing in your life? You need to get rid of it. And you may be saying, I can't do it. You're exactly right. You can't do it. God said, let me go back again. He says, I urge you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. By His mercy, by His grace, you can't do it. I don't want to tell y'all about my smoking and tobacco again. I done told y'all 5,000 times. Y'all can probably say that testimony as good as I can. I couldn't quit. I throw it in the ditch and go back and get it. I finally told God one Wednesday night, I got me Copenhagen and cigarettes. I'm going to preach. And he told me, ain't you pretty with that cigarette hanging out your mouth? And I just throwed it in the seat. Drove about a mile and picked up my Copenhagen, opened it, got me a dip. He said, you looking good with your lip pooched out there, going to go talk to these people about me. And I told y'all what I said, and I'll say it again. I said, God, I can't quit it. He said, I can. I said, throw down. I said, well, then damn it, take it. He took it. Amen. I have never touched it again. And you nasty woman, she'd buy me roads to keep me from going crazy. That stuff had me bound and tied. But God took it, not because anything. I promise you, when you tell God, take it, He takes it. All you got to do is take him by the hand and walk with him. Just got to, Father, take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand. Just let him take whatever it is that you got and take it home. He'll take it. I promise you, you're like, that's crazy. I'm telling you, it works. It works in everything. I told y'all a couple weeks ago, All I got is my testimony. The Bible says the most important thing that you've got is your testimony to other people about how God saved you. We've had kids with fever. We was headed to the hospital in Huntsville one night with Toby, terrible earache, high fever, and we just prayed about that. We lived at Watson Lake and Phelps. We crossed that first railroad track, and we just prayed and turned around and come back before we got to 190. Fever just gone. Because we trusted God. We have given tithes when we didn't have it to give. We trusted God and we give it to Him and He blessed us. I'm not telling you name it, claim it this morning. That's not what I'm telling you. God said that I urge you to present yourselves as living sacrifices by the mercy of God. We are living sacrifices. God sent His Son. He was a living testimony. Jesus went to that cross. His blood ran down that cross. He gave His life for all them sin. It is bought. It is paid for. It is done. It is finished. When He bowed His head on that cross, He said, "It is finished." People, it's finished. It is you that continues to wallow in the mud and the stuff that the world presents you. He said, "By my mercy and by my grace, I urge you to clean yourself up. Do not conform to this world." Because I'm going to tell you about this world. This world is fixing to end. May not be the raptured church, may be a United States of America, but this world is fixing to end. God said that no nation, or He says that no family or no entity or whatever is going to survive divided right down the middle. And America is divided right down the middle and it's leaning to the bad side. They're wanting to take God and church out of everything that there is. And what you and I, by the mercy of God, are going to have to keep this church house going when they tell us not to do it. We got to give it to God. You got to present yourself to God. It is not by anything. You can say, "I'm going to join this church this morning. I'm going to get saved." If God is asking you and God is convicting you and you come down here and you say the prayer and you mean it with your heart, with your mind, you'll do it. But there's another story behind this. If God is not telling you, ain't going to happen. You have to be drawn by the Spirit. And if that Spirit is in you this morning and telling you to come down here and give your heart to God, you need to do it today. He may not come in you no more. He may not, God wants every one of us to be saved. He said He loved the sinner to his grave. But if He has asked you and asked you and asked you and you keep on denying Him and denying Him and denying Him, one day you may decide and He doesn't give up. He won't give up on you. He loves you. But the more you put it off, the harder it's going to be for you to be saved. So, if you don't give it to God this morning, if you want to live by His love, by His mercy, and by His grace, you got to give it to Him. You can only do it with Him. You cannot do it again. You cannot do it on your own. It is by His mercy. Again, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, by God's mercy. What was God's mercy? That He gave His only Son to die on that cross. And thank God He arose again, that He paid the penalty of sin. But we still have to trust Him. It's finished. Father God, I come to You this morning, Lord, and I pray, Lord God, that You said something through me this morning that people understood, Lord. And God, that we could see people saved right here in this church, Lord God, that we could see this church house full, Lord God, every Sunday. Lord, like it's been the last 4 or 5 Sundays, Lord God. I pray that and not only the church being filled, Lord God, but people growing. People give their hearts to You, God, that they fight that fight, God, that they bring their struggles and their habits and things to You, Lord. Father, I praise You and I honor You and I love You this morning. I ask You, Lord God, that if there's one here that doesn't know You, that they make their way to You right now. Father, if there's a sinner here, God, that don't know You, God, I pray that if there's Christians here that need to just come down and pray for a few moments with You, Lord God, if they do that right now, Father, we give you the praise. And God, it is by your mercy, by your grace, by your love that you gave your Son, Lord God. I pray that everybody here knows him as their Lord and Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.